Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Margaret Gray, and I know that we have a bit tardy this week, I should say.
Well, Phil was on the sound stages of Hollywood, is that right?
No, he was not.
No, I was not. I was doing stuff, but I was doing something else. I was,
what were you doing?
I was involved in doing an important audition, okay?
Oh, an important audition? Well, we don't want to bother the big star, you know?
Yes, Gary. Better choose. What's it going to be? Is it going to be him or me? Well, not him or me.
Oh, man, that sounded gay as hell. What does that mean? Is it going to be him or me?
I mean, choose. Is it going to be them?
Hey, man, I don't have to choose diddly, okay? We had some business to attend to on Monday, and we attended to it and did have to do with some other media commitments. But here we are. And, we are balancing whatever commitments we do have with the commitments what we does have and the other commitments that we done do have. However, what we're going to do...
Was that a joke or something?
Well, of course it was a joke, General.
Well, I don't know. He's going, what we do have... Sounds like you flipped your lid or something.
No, I did not flip my lid. No, what we do have later on in the program will be the August Selsen Sexual Exploration and Exclamation.
So you're bringing that back?
Yes, I am.
No, because that is the most offensive, and you talk about a ridiculous garbage. It's just a garbage pit of a show.
I think August Selsen, a lot of people like him.
Now, what is it? What is the August Selsen?
You know the August Selsen. He does the sex show.
Oh, for God's sake, Henry, what are you doing with that?
August Selsen is very popular, and we haven't had him on. And one of the things that I have not done and that I would like to do is integrate into the show in a very timely way.
What are you doing with your hands? He's doing...
Ladies and gentlemen, you should see Phil. He's moving his hands around like he's some poor child that has just now been given his own room at the facility, at the Institute, and the doctors are looking at him through one-way glass.
All right, Margaret, I get you.
Well, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm saying I want to integrate the August Selsens and the other characters that the other people that we've had on the show into the body of our main show so they're not just standalones. Do you dig?
Yeah, okay, man, I dig.
No, Donald, you gotta get with it, man.
All right, I gotta get with it. Well, excuse me that I don't dig.
Geez.
Well, I dig, as you well know, Phil, and what I'm digging, the deeper I dig, the more fragrant, or should I say fetid, the soil gets. It smells like we'll need a cadaver dog. I'm Margaret Gray.
Good Lord.
What's wrong with you?
So, in other words, when I say, do you dig, you're saying we need a cadaver dog to stand the stink that is coming out of digging me.
Well, it's shit.
You know what? That was a very good way of putting it, Phil.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Okay, just... Anyway.
Well, don't act hurt.
No, I'm not going to act hurt. Anyway, welcome to the program, folks. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Like I said, we'll have August Selsen, which he will be up in just a few minutes. Actually, at the bottom of the hour, Robert?
Yeah, probably going to kick him off about 30 minutes from now.
Okay, August Selsen and the Sexual Exploration... Exclamation. Now, I have no idea what this cat's true purpose in life is, to be honest with you. But, hey, you know, the guy has bought time on the show, and...
Yeah, all that stuff spins.
You got that right. So, without further ado, though, we're going to get over here to Bob Bakian in the traffic to find out what's happening out there on the highways and byways. Bob?
I feel right now we've got a problem with Brandon. There's a problem out here right now with the traffic. And I don't know where it started, and I don't know where it's going to end, but it's in the GB. I have given me the heebie-jeebie. I'll tell you that right now. But if you find your way down there, get up around, and just perump, man, is what I'd say. Just crawl all over that guy and go, perump. You know, let's go to Skyboy.
Hey, Bob, I got the same thing. I'm going to get a little time. I'm going to get and when I'm out, I'm going back to left hand. We got Sky Baby over here, boy. Sky Baby, sweet then.
Famous Phil Henry Show will continue in just a moment.
Richter!
Richter's on the beach. Richter's on the beach has all the supplies you need. Are you a surfer? Richter's has surf supplies. Are you a swimmer? Richter's has that too. Do you like the sand? Richter's has abundance of it. Do you like insects? Do you like fish? Do you like tide pools? Richter's on the beach. Plus, wonderful milkshakes and candies, hamburgers and fish sandwiches. Richter's has been on the beach now for 61 years. No one, and I repeat, no one will beat Richter's. Richter's on the beach. A beach place since 1926. Is that 60 years ago? Much, much further back. Well, it smells like it. Certainly does. Richter's on the beach. Why is it there? Richter's
on the beach.
Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Right on. This is General Galen Shaw. I don't know what this is.
And your stars.
Oh, geez, just that some of the happening here, huh?
Well, this is Lecrae, man. It's called Fear.
Oh, it's called Fear.
Yeah, that is Lecrae, and this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, so we've got Jay Santos. We do what we're gonna probably want to do here is talk with not only Jay but Mark Henshaw, as long as we have him on the line, because. What has been happening is this. This was a weekend of weird. We had that Trump rally.
This guy Donald Trump is...
Hold on. We had a Trump rally where... I don't want to talk about Donald Trump. I want to talk about this reporter that claims he got roughed up by a Secret Service guy.
What do you mean he claims? The man was very clearly roughed up by the Secret Service.
I got to tell you. It doesn't look that way to me.
Now, wait, well, hold on for a minute, Henry. You are the guy that is so anti-Trump.
I may be anti-Trump. It doesn't mean that I'm going to sit here and say stuff that didn't happen, okay, if you don't mind. What we do have is a guy that claims he got roughed up. We also have Mark Henshaw, who's the Trump supporter, is going to be on with us because there was a mummified body that apparently was discovered off the coast of the Philippines this past weekend. And we're going to be discussing that with him. Right now, let's head on to Birmingham, Alabama. Right now with us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, the question that is on everybody's mind is, what exactly happened?
Well, what happened was, Phil, in the midst of Donald Trump greeting a crowd and essentially just, getting settled in and beginning a speech, bringing a series of remarks that he was going to give to individuals there at the high school there, were a Black Lives Matter protest that was taking place. And as you recall, it was Mr. Trump who said, all lives matter. And so as the Black Lives Matter people were wondering in front of him, he said, all lives matter. A scuffle broke out just down to the front and to the left of me. Now, I didn't see how it started, but I immediately, as is it's going to happen, you know, even though I'm not an official law enforcement in Alabama, because they had their police officers there, we did not yet have... Our Citizens Auxiliary group in Alabama, which is Sweet Home, they had not yet arrived.
What is the name of this again?
This is Donald Trump.
No, you say you've got a Citizens Auxiliary.
Yeah, we have a Citizens Auxiliary police group in Alabama. It's called Sweet Home.
Sweet Home, as in Sweet Home, Alabama?
Well, it was originally Sweet Home, Alabama, but they call themselves now just Sweet Home or Sweet Home. And
that's the name of the organization.
Yes, very high proficient Citizens Auxiliary Sweet Home, Citizens Auxiliary Police. And they were due, they did not arrive. In fact, they were a couple hours late because they got lost. So I was there and I immediately made a move. I made a move down and over to my left. And then I proceeded down and to my left again and down to my left because I was way up high. Very top of the grandstand, and when I saw the trouble break out, I immediately went down. But
well, you're saying it took a while to get. So, what did you see?
What I saw seemed very clear to me was that this photographer for Time magazine. I want to try and get the gentleman's name here, so that I don't get it wrong. Christopher Morris. The man's name.
Jay, you faded out. We can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. Christopher Morris is the man's name here. Now, Mr. Morris is a photographer for, and he's an award-winning photographer for Time magazine. Now, they say he's an award-winning photographer because that's supposed to soften the blow when you find out what this guy did.
Who started the fight?
In my opinion, it was Mr. Morris, who kept egging the Secret Service agent, said F you to him a couple times, was being extremely confrontational, was being extremely abrasive, was not in any way cooperating with the Secret Service agent. And let me tell you what he got what for. And I have to tell you, when I saw what happened, I stepped toward the melee, and I was, then people will tell you, I went, yeah.
We heard here, and the audience hasn't heard this yet, Phil. Yeah, we got a couple of calls, Jay, from people who were there, and they said you were exhorting this Secret Service agent to commit more violence.
No, that's not right at all. What I was doing was I was approving of him. Okay, I was approving of him.
Well, we have the an individual had the tape recording of the, the video is there.
Yeah, there's video of it.
Right, well, there's also the audio from the cameras. And there was the sound of you there at the perimeter of this fight.
Well, anybody can do anything.
Well, Jay, do you deny that you were saying, yeah, whatever this was?
You're saying I was exhorting it.
Well, play the tape, Bud, so we can hear this.
Yeah! What was that?
That was the only...
That's all we have.
That's all we've got.
Oh, well, are you kidding me? You're going to try and tell me to ask me? You're trying to tell me to ask me?
Well, Jay, it does sound like you. Let me ask you this.
No, it doesn't sound a thing like me.
Well, let me ask you this. Were you exhorting this man to continue beating on this photographer?
I walked over, and the first thing I said was, I said, and then I stopped because he didn't need any help from me. I was going to say, you want a hand. And I remember he looked up, the Secret Service agent kind of looked up at me, had sweat pouring down his face, and he was getting ready to go ahead and drive another fist into this guy's face, and he just kind of shook his head like, no, bro, I got it. And I said, all right, it's your world. I'm just, it's your world. I just bought a ticket to it, You know what I mean, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I know.
Well, I mean, that's the way that, in my line of work, in law enforcement, that's what we say to each other. But anyway...
You're in law enforcement, so you put yourself on an equal footing with the United States Secret Service. Boy, there's a hot one.
Well, you may not like to call it that way, General, but that's... I call as I see it, and I'm looking, and that's how I see it, and I got 20/20 vision.
All right, so what happened after that?
I stepped back. He kept on pounding. He looked like he was tiring out a little bit, and I tried to exhort him on, because you don't know whether this guy's going to get up and try to pull another, try to pull something else. So I just started going, yeah, come on, yeah. And
you were saying, yeah, or you were saying, yeah, beat him, yeah.
I said, as I recall, what I said was, yeah, do it, yeah. And
well, there were people there that said that there was a screech in your voice.
There was no screech in my voice.
Yeah, that you were exhorting the Secret Service agents, going, yeah, and so on. Look, if I'd been there, I might have done the same thing, Jay. We just want you to tell the truth.
Yeah, all you gotta do is tell the truth, Mr. Sales. And, the truth will set you free.
Well, Robert, thank you. I'm sure the truth will set you. That's very religious.
What's wrong with that? You didn't tell the truth.
I'm telling you the truth. When I saw this Secret Service agent beat this guy's face, I'm not telling you I wasn't enjoying it. I'm law enforcement. Of course I'm going to enjoy it when the law is being upheld. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy it. But this guy, and so the Secret Service agent, and I'm going, yeah, all right. I mean, is that what you want to hear?
I just want to hear what you did.
I went, yes. All right, there.
All right, Jay, now we're getting to the truth.
All right, now, are you happy?
Jay, no one is trying to make you look bad here.
Oh, no, not much. No,
we're trying to get the truth. We're trying to get the truth because what this guy said, what people who are surrounding it said, you exhorted this guy, you contributed to the violence.
That is so much horse dung. I didn't contribute. I went down there and I watched this Secret Service agent got pushed and shoved, and he finally had enough, and he said, guess what? The sheriff's come to town. He took this guy, flipped him up in the air, and then slammed him down. And yeah, when I saw that he was finally, a justice had come to town, I'm like, yes.
Well, I wouldn't be proud of that if I were you.
Is that right? General, have you ever really been in the middle of a violent... I know you're in a Vietnam War. I know you're in a Vietnam War, okay? I'm not...
Have I ever been...
Hold on, I know you're in a... But have you ever really been in... I know you're in the Vietnam War, but Yeah, let's talk about Hanahan. Have you ever been Hanahan?
Have I ever been to Hanahan?
No, have you ever been in a combat situation Hanahan?
Let me tell you, my fine feathered friend, as an officer, as a colonel, I carried a sidearm with me, all right? And I've been in plenty tight situations where an opponent might not be more than 10, 15 feet away.
I'm talking about Hanahan.
Will you forget about hand-to-hand here? There's a completely different situations.
Wow. I don't know, until you've,
Look, if you're going to try to tell me that what you've been through in your life compares to some of the combat that I've seen, the firefights I've been in, Santos, I'm going to find you and I'm going to make sure that you don't go out and infect the world with your dumbass ways. All right, you understand?
You're going to try to keep me from infecting the world with dumbass. Is that what I heard?
That's what you heard.
Well, you don't have to worry about that because I'm not infecting the world with dumbass. What I'm doing is I'm trying with all of my might and all of my power.
Jay, what we have, play it again, will you?
You have to play it.
Now, that's what we had from the film.
I told you what I did. I was standing there, and I saw this Secret Service agent, and Justice came to town. I'm going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I finally was seeing Donald Trump is going to bring back to America law and order. Law and order. And if that means some people are going to get beat in the streets.
Yeah, it's going to be a great world, man.
Oh, you know, Mr. Henry, this world and our country especially wants law and order. And we're going to get it.
Yeah, well, try not to gag on your tongue when you say that.
Gag on my what? You know, see, that's what I mean. Just because you've been, I've been hand to hand.
Well, you know what, Jay? I've never been in hand to hand, but I know how to operate a service revolver, and I'd love to just go ahead and empty one in you.
Oh, baby. You know.
All right, this has gone on long enough. First of all, you and the general are not going to have this conversation about Hanahan, or whatever you call it.
I'm calling Hanahan.
He's saying hand-to-hand combat.
That's right.
I know that. You're not going to have that discussion. And, Jay, if you're standing there exhorting the Secret Service agent onto more and more violence, I don't know what to say about you. I don't necessarily disagree with what the Secret Service agent did.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't.
Are you breaking my balls then? I'm standing there, I'm going, yes, yes, please. And I was hoping for somebody to back me up and say this Secret Service agent has taken enough, and he's going to turn around on this photographer, and he's going to beat it into him. And I went, Kay! And I looked around. Is there anybody there?
I wasn't there.
Right, yeah. So I noticed.
I was in California. I had no reason to be at a Donald Trump rally.
Well, you did, because I was standing there watching this Secret Service agent. I went, yes! Beat his ass!
You need help, Santos. You need help. You need a doctor's care, 6 months, in the best facility.
Yes, we understand, General.
All right, Jay, maybe you want to lie down?
Yeah.
Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
That was frightening, and you know, listening to him exhorting, if that's what he was doing, that Secret Service agent, whether or not the Secret Service agent was in the right, that was the wrong thing to do.
Absolutely, I agree. But let me just say this. I saw these videotapes.
Yeah, see, the only thing I saw was when they picked him up and slammed that guy to the ground.
I watched the series of... I'm going to just tell you what I think. I think what happened is this photographer had been mouthing off to this Secret Service agent. I don't know for how long. And at some point, he made physical contact with the Secret Service agent, which we did see. He chest-bumped him. Now, that did not precipitate this attack immediately because he had his back to the camera, the photographer. When you see the Secret Service agent pick this guy up and throw him to the ground, it's the Secret Service agent who has his back to the camera. So something happened in addition to that bump. But definitely see the Secret Service agent getting a little more aggressive. He moves toward this guy. And then the camera cuts off. Now, you know, the photographers have a pen. And one of the things that people in the media like to do, because I've heard them do it, and I've been around when they do it, when the police say, here's where you guys are supposed to stay, it's almost assured that somebody, a photographer, a reporter, somebody is going to go over that line, and they're going to try to get closer to the subject of the event. It happened at the St. Paul Republican Convention. I don't want to mention any names,
You're talking about Amy Goodman.
I didn't want to mention any names.
Well, I did, all right. And Amy Goodman was manhandled by those police.
Well, I don't think so. I think she did exactly what they said not to do. They said, would you please not go in this area because we're having a hard time controlling the crime. She went ahead and did it.
Well, she was looking for her producer.
I don't care what she's looking for. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. So in any event,
I see. So she's looking for a producer who might have been beaten within an inch of their life.
No, they didn't. Her producer, look, I'm not going to fight that all over again.
Well, you're not going to. Who's Amy Goodman anyway? No one cares, all right? We're trying.
Amy Goodman, she's on National Public Radio. Are you nuts or something?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know Amy Goodman if she fell out of my ass. All right?
Well, that's very nice.
What a disgusting thing to say.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, but I've got to move on. Now, what about this mummified body?
What about a mummified body?
What's that got to do with Trump?
Well, we brought on Mark Henshaw to talk about it.
I thought Mark Henshaw was coming on to talk about the Trump rally.
No, he's talking about the mummification.
What about what, bud?
Yeah, but then right there, there's a mummified body of a German man.
Yeah, I see the story.
Well, Mr. Trump supporter.
A Trump supporter? All right. Yeah, great. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com. Well, guys, this is the very first day of March. Woohoo! March the 1st. March the 1st of 2016. And what a great, great time to finally do that very thing and celebrate, by the way, my half birthday. Yes. I'm another half year older on March the 1st. Do that great thing you've been wanting to do, and that is get a yearly backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website. Let me tell you something. Yes, we produce our daily podcast. Yes, we have our classic podcast. Yes, we have our 20,000-plus hour archive of classic radio shows, shows that only the Phil Hendry Show is able to produce, shows that only Phil Hendry is able to quite frankly be glad that he's not doing anymore because they're probably going to kill him before his time. You know what we're saying. And we'd like you to be a part of that, too, by getting your yearly subscription to the Phil Hendry Show's website, the Backstage Pass. You have access to all of these hours. You have the right to download these hours and trade them with friends. Yes, that's right. This is a part of the great pleasure and joy of having a BSP. Also, you can join us on our Friday night for our Friday night chat. You can join us for our Saturday cinema. You can certainly, as I said, access our classic podcasts and, of course, get our newsletter. You can find out what the monthly promo is, on and on and on. And, of course, the high-definition video casts are yours as well. It's all there at the Phil Hendry Show website. So why not do it today? Get a backstage pass, the BSP. It's a full year of joy, of freedom. And maybe for the first time in your life, you've done something that is going to help this world. I know it'll help me, the BSP.
Phil Hendry Show BSP. Please.
BSP today.
Hey, Phil, by the loud, take them shits, but you do. So I got them for you. I don't need the pills. I'm just going to have another
drink. I don't think he needs any pills. It sounds to me like he's already had a handful.
Jesus. I look back on
Mark Henshaw, Donald Trump supporter. Mark, I want to talk to you here, and I know you want to talk to me. Let's find out about the this body or mummified body or whatever that is. You there, Mark?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, Mark. The mummified body of a German man found in a yacht adrift of the Philippines.
Right. That is correct. This is the mummified body of a German sailor found by fishermen on a yacht floating off of the Philippines. Right now, I'm on my way to a press conference. I am in Los Angeles, California, but there's a press conference being held by Ruta Jones. This is a world traveler, a sailor, can give us a little more information on mummification. But he said that the dry air and the very, very dry temperatures, warm temperatures, most likely could mummify a body. And they found this poor gentleman. He was sitting at a desk below, which is the nautical term, in his sailing craft. The craft itself was partially capsized. Now, this past weekend, we had a series of events culminating with the aforementioned, you had just interviewed Donald Trump at that rally where Black Lives Matter and the Secret Service and had that confrontation with the Time photographer. But the mummification of this man off the coast of the Philippines almost flew under our radar. And I'm bringing it up for this reason. These are the very curious events that occur in our world with allies. And the Germans are an ally of ours. The Philippines was a country that at one time was an American territory and then was a protectorate and now has its own government. And now we find a dead man mummified. Hold on for just a minute.
But I don't know what this has to do with Trump.
Yeah, that's the question.
It's a good question, too. When I was with the campaign yesterday, and I haven't spoken to Mr. Trump myself, but I was talking to one of the production assistants, and I said, why don't I go to L.A. and check this out? And they said, that's a good job for you. I said, well, okay. I heard the sarcasm. There's no question about it. I heard the sarcasm. But I said, well, I'm going to go ahead. I will check it out. And I'll tell you something else. If you don't like it, you can drop a quarter in my shorts and see if I don't go ahead and spread.
I don't appreciate. We've had a big morning with a lot of vulgarity. I hope you understand that. We've got more to come, so please.
Who is that?
My name is Margaret Gray.
Margaret Gray, she's our co-host.
Well, I can't hear you above that. We're driving at a very high rate of speed. I'm on my way to San Diego for this press conference, Aruda Jones. We're breaking the speed limit right now. And we got to get down there and find out why that guy is sitting at a table below in his sailboat. And he's in a perfectly preserved state. And you wonder, no bandages, none of the mummy bandages, just a guy said he's going to sit right up. And he's going to walk right into your den through a couple of French doors in the middle of the night. I'm concerned.
What is the thing with Trump?
The thing with Trump is the phone. With Donald Trump now leading the pack, and you find a mummy, that's going to begin to spin the reality of the situation. I think people begin to get fascinated by stories like that. And when Donald Trump, who right now needs everyone's help, especially these attacks of racism, with to have the public's view spun by the mummification of a man.
What do you mean spun? What are you talking about? I don't understand.
It would do you a world of good, General, if you'd listen.
Everybody's listening to you, Mark.
All right. What don't you understand?
What we don't understand is the association between the mummified guy and Donald Trump.
I'm telling you, Donald Trump underwent a vicious assault this weekend. The KKK, everything else.
So if I'm getting you right, you're saying that the needed, if you will, the needed defense of Donald Trump won't be there because of the press's deviation away from the Trump campaign and to this mummified man.
No, because I don't think the press will be deviated, but I think the populace and supporters will be spun, and their minds will spin. And now they're going to hear Ku Klux Klan, Donald Trump, and a mummified German. And I can tell you, I've read some comics, bloody, vicious, horrifying comic books, and illustrated books that don't come near the storyline of that.
I think you are fascinated with the mummy story, and it's got nothing to do with Donald Trump. I think you're just trying to make it be about Donald Trump.
Well, that's possible. And I said anything's possible.
Are you at all associated with the campaign?
Yeah, he is. I told you what.
No, wait. Never mind what Bud says. Are you?
I'm a Donald Trump supporter, and I have been for a long time.
Yeah, but you're associated with the campaign.
In other words, are you in any official capacity?
I'm in an official capacity for me, okay? Let me tell you what the official capacity is. My ass has an official capacity.
That is Mark Henshaw. You ever bring him on the show again, I'll kill you.
But oh my God!
Bud, what is that?
I was told the guys... Oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God. All right, folks, we'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned now for August Selsen.
What?
Like Dr. Hook, who really speaks not only does he speak to me, he speaks for me. Dr. Hook, huh? Darian's here. Darian, how are you? Mr. Fur? What? Lady Beth is twirling over here in the corner of the studio, as she always does, dancing and dancing. Lady Beth is wearing one of those sheer nightgowns this evening. I don't want it to sound as if she is dressed in anything unusual this evening. She always wears that sheer nightgown, Lady Beth. Yeah. Darian, what do you think of that? He's nodding approvingly. Darian, Darian is every bit a man, but he is part horse. He has hooves, and he's now skipping about on his hooves. Are you going to play your flute? Yeah? And Mr. Fur is with us. Mr. Fur. He's our sexpert who lives underground. And anyway, we have such a great time here on the August Selson Sexual Exploration Exclamation. And we're going to take some phone calls from you to find out what we can do to push you along the road to the sexual exploration exclamation. What is the one topic that no one wants to talk about in the media today? You know it as well as I do. It's sex. No one's talking about it. No one wants to get down to the truth of sex. Everywhere you go, there's repression. There's no magazines or books that deal with it. There are no programs, no radio or television programs, no films that deal with sex. We are in the 21st century, and we're still afraid to talk about, ooh, watch out, orgasms. Lady Beth she's laughing now. What about that, Darian? All right, you go and play your pan flute. We have here a staff of individuals. I don't want to call them people necessarily, because we are spiritual as well as physical beings. But more than anything, we're united in our desire to bring sexual contact and conversation of sex to the human family. It is incredible. In the year 2016, nowhere can you go to find graphic discussions of sex. There certainly isn't any magazines or daily periodicals. And the films that are out there have no conversation, no sexual imagery, nothing. We live in a sexual desert. We live in a time and a place that future generations will look back on and ask, did they really exist in that wasteland of hopelessness, that place of almost timeless heartache and sexual repression? And the answer will be, yes, they did. Yes, they did. Unless we are willing to do something about it. I'm August Selson. This is August Selson's Sexual Exploration Exclamation. And we're going to be right back right after this message. August Selson's Sexual Exploration Exclamation. A place and a time not too close to where you are right now. Get the book, then read it, and then do the exercises. August Selson's Sexual Exploration Exclamation can have you being, have you working, have you loving, have you existing in a world of sex. And not just a world of sex, but a wet, moist wonderland of orgasm. That is the shattering orgasm that was spoken so eloquently of the other evening by John Oliver on Comedy Central. Sexual Exploration Exclamation. This is my book. I want you to get it. I want you to read it with honesty. And then I want you to do the exercises. Make sure you do each and every one of the clench exercises, do the insertions, and remember that when it comes time for you to trust, and that is trust in any open orifice, and I'm saying it could be something out in nature. It might be not quite what you would expect when it comes to pleasure. But do you know that pleasure is everywhere? I'm August Selson. The Sexual Exploration Exclamation will have you trusting, will have you believing, and hopefully one of these days will have you doing. You'll be well on your way to a Sexual Exploration Exclamation.
To pick up this valuable book, please write August Selson, Sexual Exploration Exclamation, Post Office Box 9, A City to Be Determined. Please listen next week. I was sitting
all alone, yeah,
watching people get it on,
yeah,
with each other.
All right. right. Lady Beth, I'm going to tell everyone. No, I'm going to tell everyone now what you were saying to me. Lady Beth and I had a terrible, we never really have a terrible argument, do we, Lady Beth? No. But we had a disagreement. We had been having sex for a good long while yesterday. How long was that? 6-7 hours. And I just kept going and going. And of course, as you know, Lady Beth, I'm devastating, and I am quite devastating as a lover, am I not? That's right. Oh, Dorian's dancing now. Dorian dances and begins to play his pan flute when Lady Beth acknowledges my sexual expertise and the fact that I am devastating in bed. Dorian, what are you saying? Oh, Mr. Fur has passed a message. What is this? Are you devastating? Lady Beth, Lady Beth, you know I love you. But as the culture here of August Selson's sexual exploration exclamation is, the man is really the devastating lover. The woman is the willing recipient. And let's give that 2 stars. All right.
This is how it's gonna be.
Yeah, that's 2 stars for the man. And that means that sexual exploration exclamation is well on its way here this afternoon. So, Lady Beth said, when are you going to call out Hugh Hefner, who has been going at it for, we don't know, what, 50 years or something, and now he lives in a decaying and decrepit a mansion of some kind over in Holmby Hills in Southern California. Now, we live out here on the perimeter, on the very furthest edge of the ocean here, the Pacific Ocean. We have a beach hut, and if you know the song Crazy Little Place Across the Shack, or Across the Track, all right, there goes Dorian again. He's dancing and playing his pan flute. That's it, Dorian. There's a crazy little place, boop, boop, doop, doo. You know what we should do is play that, and maybe we will in a few minutes, but what we were talking about is where we are in our love shack, in our sugar shack, where everything is really just a sugar kiss away. All right. Oh, come on, Darian. Darian with his cloven hooves and his pan flute.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack beyond the track.
This is the life that I have with Lady Beth. I don't need the crumbling and decadent mansion of Hugh Hefner, or Hugh Hefner, excuse me, of the Playboy.
It's just a coffee.
Playboy, I'm sorry.
Made out of.
Yeah, but this is my life.
Espresso coffee taste.
Yeah, mighty good.
That's not the reason why I've got to get back.
Yeah. I'm doing a hip thrust now. All right. So this is what we try to do on the August Selson Sexual Exploration Hour. We try to give you a reason to live beyond following the dictates of a sexual relic, a sexual dinosaur like Hugh Hefner, and a Playboy mansion. Now, he lives in a decaying and decrepit edifice there in Holmby Hills. If you were to drive by it, you'd probably think it was haunted. and why wouldn't it be? I think it's haunted by the ghosts of bugs that died trying to find their way into the ass, or excuse me for saying it that way, but if you're listening to August Selson, you know that this is the August Selson sexual exploration exclamation, so I'm going to tell it exactly as it ought to be told. Now, Hugh Hefner can talk all he wants about the sex that he has, but I don't think he's had enough sex to keep one syphilis bacteria alive and relatively satisfied with its life. I think they've all died unhappily, depressed, and to be honest with you, I think there's only one place for a syphilis or gonorrhea bacteria or virus to go once it's visited the Playboy Mansion, and that is to kill itself, to jump into a pot of boiling soup or something. You know, Lady Beth? Oh, Lady Beth's angry at me now. She's bored. Okay, Lady Beth, I bet you want me to play the Sugar Shack, don't you? All right, let's do some more of that. Wee! Wee! Go on, Dorian. Dance. dance your centaur legs off with your pan flute.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack.
Dee Dee across the track. You want me to sing? All right.
And everybody calls.
We'll be back in just a moment. We'll sing some songs for you here on the August Selson Sexual Exploration Exclamation.
Made out of wood. Espresso coffee tastes
mighty good.
That's not the reason why I've gotta get back.
August Selson's Sexual Exploration Exclamation will continue in just a moment. Friends, this is Guy Kibbe, and I know you've heard my lectures and you've heard my tapes. You've seen me, possibly on television, possibly around town. I don't know. Maybe you've seen me on the many bus boards that we've taken out. Guy Kibbe, and what do I want from you? I want your attention, because right now this world is in trouble. And we want all of you to sit down, family, mother, father, all the children, sit down and write this down right now. I will not be a pawn in the evil game being foisted upon me. Guy Kibbe will not allow me to be a pawn in the evil game being foisted upon me. The Guy Kibbe Lecture Series can alleviate and can enhance and can liberate your family and bring you to a new understanding of what life should be. You do not have to be a pawn in the evil game being foisted upon you. You do not have to be manipulated by the evil people around you. Remember to keep the power within and remember to power without. Make sure that the world is a power cord leading into your inlet and only your inlet and your outlet. And I know it sounds confusing, but the Guy Kibbe Lecture Series can do it all, and it does it all, and it's there for you and stands beside you. It is a living, breathing, and vibrant thing, a monument to me, Guy Kibbe.
A monument? Guy Kibbe? The monument to Guy Kibbe. The lecture series. Available now at
Portnoy's Books and Tapes.
And now back to August Selson.
Yeah. We've got a controversy now. Maybe you can vote, or if you want to vote or something. Who's answering phones? Mr. Fur, are you answering phones? Yeah. Mr. Fur is, if you want to know Mr. Fur, he is our sex animal who lives underground. He is covered in hair, but that doesn't seem to bother the ladies, does it, Mr. Fern? All right, yeah. Espresso coffee tastes mighty good.
That's not the reason.
All right, well, we were talking about Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner, I'm told, is the name. And what has he done? He's done nothing, because we live here now in the 21st century, and everyone is frightened to death of talking about sex, talking about their sex acts, and talking about their private, intimate lives. You don't hear any of that on radio, television, or film. What is going on with our society? Well, it's very, very simple. We're frightened to death. We're uptight. We're tense. We're not, you know, letting it all hang out. We're not loose. A lot of us are afraid to be loose and let it all hang out and have multiple sex partners in front of our children. Why? You know, you're just only going to hang them up. You're only going to hang them up and make them think, ooh, I'm all hung up. And Lady Beth and I, once we have children, certainly at a certain age, I'm not saying anything more than this, but if we have a party at the house, am I going to hang myself up and be uptight? Huh, Lady Beth? Stop dancing for a moment. Yeah. Am I going to be uptight? No, I'm not going to be uptight. I'm going to go ahead and have sex relations with you, with your sister, Doreen. Dorian is here, and Dorian, as you know, is he's the half-mate of Doreen. We have a different kind of relationship here. We base it on Creation of the Humanoids, which was a marvelous film, insofar as its definition of relationship. I recommend it to you. But Doreen is in rapport with Dorian. Dorian is a centaur, so he has these four cloven hooves, plays the pan flute, and is pretty much worthless as a sex partner to a human woman. But he is very capable as a sex partner to men or dogs. And that's fine with you, Dorian, isn't it? He's prancing off playing his flute. Also, we have Mr. Fur. Mr. Fur is a much, much sought-after sex partner by every single female that we know who is in our lives and who is close to Lady Beth. And, you know, they share, they sup with us. And Mr. Fur, we have constant... Here, is that the door? Go get it, Lady Beth. Oh, these are people that want it. You want to see Mr. Fur, right?
Yes.
Now, you're a man. Where's your...
My wife's here.
All right, Mr. Fur, you have another job, another woman to satisfy. There goes Mr. Fur. He's hopping and rolling out of the underground tunnel that he inhabits. I'm telling you, if you think it's strange for you, try being me. Try being me. All right? And I think you'll understand. All right, so getting back to our interpretation of the 21st century sexual repression that's going on right now, it's been going on since the beginning of time. What we're trying to do is to get something going that you've probably never heard of. We want to get a sex revolution. I want to see people talking and acting and doing and being sex. And that is oral, anal, that is vaginal, that is whatever you would call any sex act you perform with the penis. But I need it. I'm not going to give you advice. I can't do that. That's not my job. That's not my job. And frankly, it wouldn't be anything that would be helpful anyway. But because I am not here to give advice. If I were here to give advice, that would mean that I care about what happens to your individual sex life. I don't, which is not to say that I bear you any ill will, but I just don't care. It's all I can do to handle Lady Beth. It's all I can do to handle 5, 10, on any given day, 15 different sex partners that engage in strenuous, graphic sex relations with me. Now, you're not going to hear anybody admit to that kind of thing anywhere else but right here on the August Selson Sexual Exploration Exclamation. Is that right, Lady Beth? Yeah, she's twirling. There she goes, twirling off. Dorian, are you going to play your pan flute? Dorian and Lady Beth are now dancing. And when they begin the fire dance, and this is when Dorian begins to skip about on his hooves, and Lady Beth is prancing. When they begin the fire dance, this is the beginning of what we call, I hope you understand what I mean by this, we call this the eruption, but it's not anything that may be in your mind. What you think of when I say eruption, you think of a volcano, or you think of an explosion. No, no, no. When I say eruption, guess what I'm thinking? Guess what I'm saying? Sex. All right, I know it. We're getting the phone calls from people. How dare you talk about this? Getting back to Hugh Hebner, Hugh Hebner, and the Playboy sexual experiment, which failed and did not achieve what Mr. Hebner said it would, which was the indoctrination, the education, the spreading the gospel, the sex gospel. Well, they didn't have any sex at the Playboy Mansion. They didn't have relations. They talked a lot about it, and they sat around and played cards and watched movies. I know, because we sent people in there. We sent our people in there. And my people reported back to me they spent a Saturday night, Sunday night, Friday night, and there was no sex. There wasn't even discussion of sex. People played cards. People stoked a fire. There was a freak out of some kind. Some woman who'd taken a psychedelia, and she freaked. She freaked out. But there was no sex. And so the Playboy or Playboy experiment has sunk to the recesses of the earth. It's sunk into whatever passes for the, may I say, anus of the planet Earth, and is now out and into the gigantic galactic toilet, which many people have said to me, and I get cards and letters all the time, August Selson, your mind is something that feeds on the galactic toilet, now doesn't it? And I write back very good-humoredly, and I say, dear sir or madam, for you to have a thought like that, your brain must be marinating in the galactic toilet. And they'll write back and they'll say, not anywhere near the fact that you are supping from and eating from whatever is in the large galactic commode. And then I write back and I say, you have offended me enough. Now let me tell you where you belong. You should only, you know, and then I'll say it. You should only die and drown in God's great big urinal. And then they'll write back. And what is that, Lady Beth? All right. Well, Lady Beth says that if you've got 3 hours, I can get to the very end of this letter chain. And she's right. So let me go ahead and cut to the chase, okay? Let's cut to the chase, huh, Lady Beth? All right, let's cut to the chase. Cutting to the chase, what that means is I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to go and I'm going to chase Lady Beth around the backyard until one of us faints from exhaustion. I know if it's me first, I know what she's going to do. She's going to be all over me in a New York minute. Okay? She's going to be all over me in a New York minute because that's what Lady Beth does. Okay, it's August Selson, and I'll tell you this much. It is the August Selson Sexual Exploration Exclamation. And it's the kind of place where I think we all belong. We all belong, whether we think we do or not. Let's go back home to Sugar Shack.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack beyond the tracks.
August Selson, Sexual Exploration Exclamation. I'll tell you in just a moment.
One of these days, I'm going to lay down tracks in the direction of the Sugar Shacks.
Just me and her. Yes,
just me and her. We're going to go back to the Sugar Shacks. Uh-oh. Sugar Shacks. Yeah. We do get a lot of requests, don't we, Dorian? Dorian is miming to me right now. Dorian and Mr. Fur both, neither one speaks. Lady Beth speaks, but she's dancing. She's twirling about here in the corner of our studio. I have gotten a mime message from Dorian, our centaur, and he has said to me, August Selson, so many people write and say, would you please do your narration? And I said, well, I don't know. Do we have time for that tonight? Lady Beth, you're the one who is going to call the shots here. Lady Beth says that we do have time for the narration. So, you know, the theme of the show is Dr. Hook's sexy eyes. Let's do the narration on sexy eyes right now. Make love to this. This is why we do our narration. It's time for you to have sex to August Selson. I'll be narrating now, sexy eyes. So grab the one that you, well, grab a female or a male, have sex with it.
I was sitting
all alone, watching people get it on with each other.
They were dancing
across the floor, churning, moving back and forth. They were lovers. One more lonely night for me. I looked up. What did I see? Sexy eyes. Hey, sexy eyes. Moving across the floor. I want more. Sexy eyes. I looked up. Sexy eyes. She's moving across the floor. She knows she wants more. Sexy eyes. Oh, yeah. I'm getting warmed up here, Lady Beth. Come on. Everybody. I got up and took her hand, and we both began to dance to the musics. Yeah. We were dancing across the floor, grinding and doing more. We was lovers. I'm dancing right now. No more lonely nights for me. This is just the way I perceived it to be. She's the sexy eye. She's winking at me and telling me she's sexy-eyed. Oh, yeah. Sexy eyes. Move across the floor. Crawl on the floor. Sexy eyes. Get on the floor. I demand you. I demand and command it. Sexy eyes. Crawling across the floor. I want more. Sexy eyes. Hey, sexy eyes. Falling on the floor, being stepped on more. Sexy eye. Yeah.
August Selson's Sexual Exploration Exclamation will continue in a moment.
All right. Ronco steel is the hardest steel you've ever had your hands on. Not Ronco, the steel on the TV commercial. This is a different Ronco steel. It's spelled R-A-N-K-O. R-A-N-K-O, but pronounced Ronco steel. This steel is made out of triple
the strength.
Ronco steel. You can do it, you can love it, you can rub it, you can hug it. But Ronco steel will never let you down. Ronco steel will never let you wear a gown. Ronco steel will never let you down. Ronco steel will never let you down and let you wear a gown.
Ronco steel.
Get it today at
Mervyn's.
Well, that concludes the August Selson Sex Hour. What do you think of it? Good? I thought it was good. And Darian, who's prancing about in his cloven hooves. And what do you think, Darian? You're a mute. You play a pan flute. You can't have sex with a woman, but you can bugger a man or a dog. And your life is good. All right. Okay. I always like to point at him and laugh at him. Because beyond the whole mystical kind of fun party, he is kind of a freak. Well, I don't mean to say that, but you know what I mean. You're just dancing around here. All right. Yeah. Get away from me. August Selson, sexual exclamation, expiration.
Come off of him. Get him off, Darian.
August Selson has been strangled by Darian the Centaur.
They were dancing across the floor, turning, moving back and forth. They were lovers. One more lonely night for me. I looked up. What did I see?
The Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
This is General Galen Shaw speaking, and don't ever let me see that guy around here again.
Oh, the thing.
Either you or that Selson.
August Selson has been strangled to death, so.
Good news. Good riddance to bad rubbish.